Hello and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this episode, we discuss the songs we just can't get enough of, whether they're new releases or just new to us, from some of our faves in the K-pop industry. This episode, we will cover No Celestial by Le Sserafim, Hello by Treasure, and 28 Reasons by Sulky. Stay tuned, because we got you covered with the K-pops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, and I just want to give a recommendation for a K-drama. I recently went to Hawaii and the plane didn't have Wi-Fi, and so as we were about to take off, I was quickly downloading a show, and I downloaded Once Upon a Small Town, which has Joy from Red Velvet as the female lead, and it's actually really good.
Huh.
It's very wholesome. It's about like a city boy who suddenly comes to a small town, and he's like culture shocked by all of the countryside mannerisms. And yeah, I'm only on episode.
Is she like a cop character?
Yes.
Or do I have this completely
wrong?
No,
she's, she's a cop. Spoiler, she's a cop. She's a police officer, but she's not actually a police officer. They just gave her that title, but she's more like the human civil officer, where anytime anyone has a problem in the town, they call her. So she's doing all types of shit. She's like vet tech. You know, she helps the vet.
She's kind of like the, what is that drama from last year? The guy that did everything in that hippie town.
Oh, Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one, but I think it's similar. Yeah.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, the only reason why I know this is because on my For You page, I saw her teaching blowing confetti to the little boy in the drama.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Their relationship is cute.
Okay. We have our special guest, Gabe. Did you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm back off of a 1 month in Europe. I was living in Spain, just in Barcelona.
Awesome.
Living my life while working remote. It was great. But I was keeping up with K-pop, so I'm still steeped in it and ready to be back.
All right. Well, we're back with a special episode of K-Bops, and Ashley, you're going to take us away with your recommendation first.
Yes. So, listeners, you've probably heard me talk about this group in previous episodes. I have a new obsession with the group Le Sserafim, and I'm not going to go into them because we have talked about them in detail in episode 85, Hot Take Hot Talk Le Drama Film.
Oops.
Oh.
Check out that one.
Yeah, so listen to that episode if you want to hear about that. But my recommendation is off their latest album, Anti-Fragile, which was released on October 17. And my song rec is their B-side, No Celestial. Just wanna live. Celestial is a pop rock song, and it's about the girl saying, I'm no angel, I just want to be me, I'm down to earth, you know. Overall, the lyrics, they tie in with their whole theme of anti-fragile, I'm not this porcelain doll, I'm strong type of message. What I like about this song is the fun rock theme, you know. I was looking at this just like a Reddit string of this song, and people in the comments were like, it's giving me 2000s Avril Lavigne and also Camp Rock.
It was, you know, it was kind of giving me G Idol tomboy. Even though I know you hate
I didn't hear that, but I guess.
I think it's because rock right now is having a moment. You know, like pop rock, punk rock.
The return of My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, that whole, what's that festival that just happened with all those bands that when we were young, you know, it had like Green Day, Blink 182, a lot of that pop rock from the 90s, early 2000s is coming back, and we're seeing that a lot in K-pop with, like you said, G-Idol Tomboy. My last K-pop recommendation was Billy Ring Ring Ring.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And that was a pop rock anthem bop.
Ashley's going through her pop rock phase.
I know. I might just cut my hair, like do like a scene girl bang. To rip my tights and like wear jean shorts and combat boots. I'm gonna have a moment. But yeah, I love that pop rock is having a moment, because when I was in high school 15 years ago, I was a Paramore girl. And I would say that this genre in No Celestial is very similar, like Misery Business Paramore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, did you like the song? What'd you think?
So, yes, I did like the song. I will give a little disclaimer. I am not a Le Sserafim fan. Mm-hmm. I am more of an anti than a fan, to be quite honest.
Why?
But
wait, hold
just
on.
Because they're Hive.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Honestly,
like every Hive group for me is like automatically starts at like minus 10 points.
To just like what, fight against systems of institution?
Basically, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
So,
but the song itself, I really liked it, actually. I was very surprised because it's nothing like Anti-Fragile, but it's still, I don't know, it's just so different. Yeah, it's not like a typical K-pop song that you think you'd hear.
Well, this is a B-side, so it's supposed to be, you know, a little bit maybe different. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even Anti-Fragile was like, the whole reggaeton thing was something that we really haven't seen much of in K-pop, so that was interesting that they were trying something new and it was doing really well. Yeah,
that works.
I saw a review of Anti-Fragile by my fave YouTuber in
Form of Therapy,
and he said that with Anti-Fragile being a reggaeton beat, they're like automatically catering to an international audience. With the other songs on their album, there's only 5 of them. One of them is like obviously reggaeton. One of them is just their intro like song. There's nothing really to it. And then there's the rock song and a pop ballad. So there isn't, I mean, minus the pop ballad, like they're all very diverse genres, and they're very obviously catering to that international audience.
It seems like being in Hybe has garnered them a lot of popularity. I will say that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think that's like kind of a safe assumption.
Yeah, if you,
because there are people that did not care about IZ*ONE. And now, all of a sudden, they're like, I love Le Sserafim. And I was just like, oh, well, okay, what happened there?
I know.
Like, oh, you're a BTS stan, okay.
You can tell that the Korean networks are catering to Hybe, because Le Sserafim, like, this is their second mini album. And they already had, like, a huge Mnet comeback show. There's only one performance of this song, and it's on Mnet. There's like a very long intro where each
of
No Celestial, where they all members are like walking down this very long like lit runway, and then they perform this song. So this isn't even like their B-side. Their B-side is actually their pop ballad, which is like something good or whatever. But
I like that choice.
Yeah, but like Mnet's letting them perform like every single song.
Wait, they had a whole comeback show on Mnet.
Yeah.
Which is what?
which is literally what WJSN got for winning all of Queendom.
Okay, here we go.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, well, we're here to talk about the song. So, I mean, I like the song too. I like Day 6 type of rock. So this gave me like a little bit less emotional, because Day 6 songs are actually like pop rock, but also pop ballad rock, yeah. I feel.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly that, but I liked it kind of nonetheless. And I think I'm similar to Gabe, whereas like I was a little bit more skeptical about the group. I think they kind of, again, like, I don't really like the idea of HYBE's acquisition of this group via Source Music.
Yeah.
So, like, not ethically, but I guess, like, from a...
from a G-friend point of view.
Sure. And it's not a zero-sum game, but from a G-friend-centric view, this was kind of... like, it was just a little bit sad how everything turned out as to how this group ended up coming up. But I liked it, and I'm glad that they are able to put aside their initial group controversies, and it doesn't even seem like people even remember.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I mean, that's to say, according to Casey, in episode XX, Hot Take Hot Talk, the public wasn't for keeping that member anyways. Yeah. So I guess that helped to put aside that controversy real quick.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they were able to put out that fire and able to start fresh, and no one even... they're doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, they released the same week as G-Idle, and the song has just been like this with the charts.
Anti-Fragile.
Anti-Fragile, mm-hmm. And G-Idle's new release. So...
yeah.
Something about them girl groups this year that have just been unstoppable, basically.
Yeah.
Got the boy groups kind of scared, I think, understandably.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Any other thoughts on No Celestial or Entity TT Fragile?
I have one more comment about Le Sserafim. Now that they're a 5-member group, HYBE technically has 2 5-member groups. They have NewJeans and Le Sserafim. And ooh, I was thinking about this because you know how we previously talked about SM and how they added Yeri to Red Velvet because they debuted with 4 members? One of the theories. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's one of the theories.
Mm-hmm. Now, reflecting on Le Sserafim and NewJeans, it is a little bit weird to have 2 5-member groups.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not a duplicate because they're different, but it's still like a formation.
It's kind of a duplicate.
Right,
so
exactly.
And their concepts, I know that Le Sserafim, like, they're an older group conceptually, but if you listen to the B-side that they're promoting, let me get the name of it. It's like Good Part, something like that. I don't know. Good Part is whatever part of the song. If you watch the music video for that song, it's basically a NewJeans concept. Hmm. Like teenage girl, like bubbles, colorful, like, so it's just a little bit weird that they almost have 2 groups that are kind of doing the same thing. And they're all the same size. So, it's my 2 cents.
Okay, well, we'll see if they add a member.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't.
Or get rid of a member.
No.
I doubt anything is going to happen with the lineup change now, but yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Ashley. Gabe.
Okay, so this time around, I'm recommending... Treasure's latest comeback, Hello. So Hello was released on, I think it was about a month ago, on October, sometime in October, or maybe late September. I forget the exact date, but it's been out for a while now. And basically the concept for the whole thing, if you watch the music video, was like happy, cheery, kind of like a celebration anthemic type song. And they had like fireworks at the end and everything, and it was very cute and bubbly and everything. I will say though that this is a lot more vocal heavy than a lot of their past title tracks, which had a lot more of a rap focus, which was interesting because they're missing two of their vocalists.
So interesting.
Who?
Yeah. So Yedam and Mashiho are both on hiatus indefinitely. I just looked this up today.
Why?
Was it like something mental health related?
Well, so Yedam apparently, so YG said that Yedam is studying studio production and music production to like be better at, I don't know. I think they're trying to like make him the next
Ashley and I not with the same exact reaction. Anyways.
Okay.
So yeah, Yedam is studying, which doesn't really make sense.
No, but that is such a... Okay, I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah. And then Mashiho, he's in Japan with his family as of May, just like recovering from some health problem. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. So he's like indefinitely just like not doing idol stuff.
Oh,
huh. Yeah.
I have some thoughts about Yedam doing music production. He was like their star vocal. Why is he suddenly...
Well, that's why Gabe's saying that it's a interesting take that they went for a more vocal-based song without their lead vocal.
But yeah. I'm saying, why is he studying vocal
production?
Production when his... When he sings, you know, like, they need him. And he was, like, the most famous, going into the group, he was, like, the most famous member because he was on that show. Wasn't
well,
he? Like, there
looks
was, like,
like
a...
like, you need to write YG.
I know, something like that.
And especially because this was their first comeback in, like, almost a year, right? Or no?
No, they did, they did one in the beginning
half a
of
year?
The year.
Yeah. Well, so it's been like it's been a fairly long time, like maybe 9 months, eight months, something like that.
Yeah.
I really liked the song, but I really liked it, but it was definitely not something that was consistent with their previous concepts and everything else.
Like
Jikjin, I don't think
was very different
yeah,
than this.
Yeah. And it didn't reach kind of the same success as Jikjin or their past title tracks. I don't know if that's saying something or not, but...
I liked this song a lot. This was one of my favorite Treasure releases. I'm not the EDM expert in this Zoom box, but, like, it kind of has, like, EDM aspects, right? Like, in the background? A little bit? Anyways, whatever. I thought it was interesting.
I think it was just a classic pop, feel-good anthem type song. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like Treasure has two concepts. They have little boy, like, energy, crazy, fun. And then they have, like, standard YG hip-hop, like, kind of sexual, but,
sure.
like
Icon 2.0.
Sure.
Icon 2.0. Uh-huh. And this... release fell into that
first,
category
yeah.
of the first category, and also very similar to like their pre-release, pre-debut song Going Crazy. It gave me those vibes.
I like the softer side.
Yeah. Sure, overall I really enjoyed it. Have you guys watched their performance video?
No, I haven't.
No.
I think I've seen
no.
it.
So,
I've seen the choreo, though. I've seen the dance.
Yeah,
practice.
So typically performance videos, I mean, in recent times, it's become more of a production, you know, like it's become its own mini music video in itself. But it's just in previous times, it was just like a widescreen of the choreography. Well, for this song, it was kind of like a skit. So there were two members, the vocal leader, Jihoon, and the Japanese member Asahi, and they were both acting. The set was like a classroom, and they were all like in school gear, and those two members were acting like they were super nerdy, and the other members were like teaching them how to be cool in different parts of the song. And then towards the end, they all come together and they do the choreography. So it wasn't like a standard performance video. It was more like music video 2.0. Yeah, it was cute.
Okay, keeping it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say I liked the choreo for this song. I think the most out of all the other title tracks that they've released, just because it's like fun and it's easy and you can do it like in a TikTok challenge. I forget what other song was released around the same time recently, but I saw like, oh, the Stray Kids song. That dance challenge is so hard.
Like, people can't do it.
It's so intricate, like you just can't do it. So right. I think this was, the Treasure song was like the perfect choreo for the dance challenge.
There. Right.
Yeah.
They picked good ones. Does anyone want to guess? Like, and this might come as a surprise to you all, and I was gonna maybe reveal this maybe at a later episode when we're rounding up the entire year, but one of my most played songs of 2022 is a Treasure song. Does anyone want to guess what it is?
Oh my gosh. Wait, is it a title track or a B-side?
It's a B-side. But it, like, okay. I feel like it did better than a... It did...
Sarange.
No.
Is it Bling Like This?
No.
Oh. It's... I don't know their B-sides, really.
It's Da-da-di.
Oh, yeah!
And that one also, it got really big because, like, the challenge was easy and a lot of people were doing it.
Yeah. That song is really sweet.
It's definitely going to be in, like, my top 20 played K-pop songs of the year. And not even because what was that?
Sorry, go.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
That should have been a title track.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Like, here's what boy groups need to do. And I'm not the producer of anything. This is just
my... YG, SM, everybody listen up.
Recommendation. Just like all the girl groups have gone back to the basics, they're doing interesting things, but they're not screaming out of the void, and they're, like, doing solid things. I think boy groups need to kind of take a step back and consider that, too. Like, Da-da-di was a soft hit. They need to, I think... reconsider the value of something like a release like that. Because I think they're really going for the scream into the void flashy, which we've talked about before. Does make a lot of waves, but it doesn't appeal to the wider public.
That's true.
Yeah. Like the Ajumas are not listening to Two Baddies, One Porch.
They are not. The stans are. Ashley's listening to Two Baddies, One Porsche.
Yeah, I am.
Right. Yeah. And there is value to that because, Gabe, you're talking about it, right? You're the one that brought it up, so you know it. But it's not appealing to, like, a wide swath of people. But that could be said to, like, any boy group, basically. Ajumma's not listening to Hot 17.
I have a prediction. Well, maybe... since groups like IVE have done that classic K-pop that has become widely popular, maybe next year we'll see the trend revert back to classic, less focus on international style music and more focus on the roots.
The roots.
Original K-pop.
Like, I want some of the boy groups... to go back to, not go back to and see this as a model, but like Growl and the stuff that EXO was doing in their prime was like classic pop. Like they weren't doing anything crazy, but it was just solid pop hits. There's a reason why they called Growl the national anthem of Korea. there was a reason behind that. It's just because, like, it was beloved, right?
Yes.
So I think I can see that. I can also see that happening, actually. Anyways, any other thoughts on Treasure? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I will say that even without their main vocalist, I think Jungkook did okay, like, covering for all the vocal parts. So, like, because there's, like, even though there's only 10 of them left, like, it's still a big group with 10 people.
Maybe that's why Ashley as a stand didn't recognize or didn't realize.
Yeah, that's very true, because I honestly did not even notice those two members were gone. But
yeah,
I don't stand those two members. So if my bias, like Cho Hyun Suk, was missing, I'd be like, where's my boy, you know? Or like the other Japanese member.
But at the end of the day, there was just so many people.
Yeah.
So many legs on the stage.
On the crowd.
Okay, thank you, Gabe. So my recommendation this time around is Red Velvet Silgi's solo debut. And her title track of this mini album is called 28 Reasons. 자꾸만 괴롭히고 싶은 걸 28 reasons 몰라도 돼 나쁜 의도 없어 내게 도망쳐 28 reasons 다 아는데 왜 또 다시 내게 기대 난 썩 끌림 무기력한 머리 but feel so bad 정글하게 보여줄게 I'm not the devil 너부터 So I'm just going to start by reading out some of the lyrics, and I'm interested to hear your reactions. And mine was so verse one, I kiss your brother. Ooh. I was like,
I saw that.
What is going on here? I like paused and I was like, I kind of got like shocked for a little bit. She basically goes on to say like, she's a bad person in a relationship. She says, I steal that heart. You can't even feel the poison. My pleasure, mischievous, and nervous eyes. It's so much fun to see you like that. And she basically goes on to say that she is an F girl. She is someone that you love to hate, basically. And I thought that this was a very good concept for her in terms of it being a little bit more dark but still like sultry, like it's not like girl crush, because
yeah,
she's never been of that concept, but she, it's still like true to the very velvety side of Red Velvet, which is I think very unique in the K-pop industry. So I just thought that this was a very appropriate release for her, and it just made a lot of sense. And the Reva Loves have been waiting for her debut, and it, in an ideal world, it would exactly sound something like this. So it makes sense to me. In terms of like what the song sounded like, I feel like it was just like a, I think like a very standard like dance pop track. She promoted the song quite a bit, for like several weeks, which was really nice to see, because like, I think like promotions these days are so short. Like some of the artists are going for like maybe 1 week or 2 weeks. And I think that she really went on for a pretty long time. I really enjoyed what I believe to be her strength, which is like performance. So she's really good at vocals, dance, visuals, and I think that she kind of gave it all there. And maybe Casey would disagree with me. I don't know what she would say about this, but I consider her like Taemin-esque, and I felt like this song was giving a little bit of that. And her performance and her stage presence, I think, really speaks to what she can do as an artist and things like that. So Anyways, I'll pause by asking what you all thought of the song and the performance.
I thought... So I don't have a comment about either of those. I have a comment about the music video. The teasers of the music video alone made it look like she had produced a mini movie. Like she was really acting in this music video, you know, like she has the bed in the middle
of a little bit like a horror movie.
Yeah, and she's walking away from the car that explodes. She has like a very serious face with like blood dripping from her head. You know, like it was a very intense, and I thought that this was gonna be like a short film, basically. And it kinda was. I like that they're moving in this. I don't know if like the whole company is moving in this direction, but like I like that they made the music video in this way. Like it's not a standard music video.
I thought it was interesting as well.
It
did feel a little bit more cinematic. And if anyone in the Red Velvet group is going to do a cinematic video, it's going to be her. So I'm glad that they put her on that, or it was her idea to go for something like that.
Yeah, I loved it. So what is she saying in the chorus? Is she saying 28 reasons why you love to hate
me? She says, I can read it to you. She basically says, oh, there's 28 reasons that kind of ruined you, assuming about me, that she doesn't have any bad intentions, and you know all the 28 reasons to run away from me, and then she's kind of teasing at the end and asks, but like, why are you coming back? I mean,
she's toxic.
According to Genius Lyrics, yeah, she's basically F-girl toxic, which is, like, interesting because, I mean, it's a good concept for her. Yeah. Like, she pulls it off really well. Hopefully she's not like that in her real life, though.
Yeah, it's fun, this persona that she has going on.
It's fun, yeah, so it translates directly into, like, at the end of the day, like, after these 28 reasons why you shouldn't like me, like, why are you, quote-unquote, leaning into me again? That's what it says.
Toxic girl energy, I love it.
Toxic girl energy, toxic girl concept. But it's not like a girl crush.
No.
It's more of like luring. She's kind of like a... I don't know. Like, I think that she would be comfortable that I would say... And I'm saying this from a very just genuinely positive perspective. Like, a little snaky, you know? I mean, like, it's an F-girl lyric concept.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense. Something that I also, in the spirit of talking about challenges, since it seems like we can't get away from that in this day and age, is that she had a lot of people complete her 28 Reasons challenge, and I think that this fell into, like, one of the reasons why not a lot of people can do it is because it's really difficult. So... these, like, challenges end up just being, like, mini covers that she asks people to do, right? It's not a challenge. It's more of just, like, hey, cover the song so I can post it.
She's collecting clout from these people, basically.
Yeah, and it's not just clout from her company. She gets people that are promoting that week to do it with her. And she also has people, you know, from her company doing it, obviously. But I thought my challenge winner for Sulky 28 Reasons goes to, drumroll please, it goes to Xiaojun from NCT. And
Yes,
it goes to, he's the winner. There were a lot of applicants too, but he was the winner. clear favorite and clear winner. I was talking to Ashley, like, before the recording, and I talked to her about how Xiaojun, like, maybe, like, 2 years ago, when they were promoting Monster and Naughty as a group, as a subunit, Irene and Sulky, he had posted a cover or challenge of that, and a lot of people liked it, so he had done a reprise for Sulky's debut, so.
Yeah.
He wins.
Yeah, it was really good. And his cover was the longest out of all the other covers she did. Like, they did more than just the 28 Reasons part. They did, like, a second line of choreo.
I just feel like the other ones were the challenge. There was, like, easy, medium, and expert.
Yes.
Level. And most people did easy or medium, and it was, like, mainly just, like, little hand movements.
Yes.
But, like, Xiaojun just did a cover of the choreo. Mm-hmm. Alongside Seulgi. So. I think that she's great. I think that this was a really good concept for her. People were saying, like, before she debuted, like, or before she released her solo work, that a darker Sunmi-esque, like, song would be really good for her. And while I think that was true, she kind of gave it, like, her own spin. But also it kind of sounds like it could be kind of like a darker Sunmi concept, too. Anyways, that's all I have to say. Anything else on this?
It reminded me a lot of the Subunit release that she did with Irene. Mm-hmm. It was, like, in that same vein.
Yeah.
So, like, it seemed familiar.
Like, they're not gonna do, like, happy-go-lucky red side.
Yeah.
Like, with Seulgi's visual, like, by herself, it doesn't really work.
That's true.
Because she's already such an intense-looking visual. And, like, at the end of the music video, it was really interesting. They had this, like, English text at the end. I don't know if any of you caught on to that. It reads, "Good and evil people are not clearly distinguished. Good and evil coexist within one person. Even if one seems good, greed and temptation always exist together inside. We simply try to resist from being captured by evil." Okay.
Mm-hmm. What is this supposed to be? Like, is this supposed to be a description of her, like, solo concept? Or is this, like, a teaser for what's to come?
I'm not sure, because they also just released group teasers. And mind you, the song came out, like, early October. But they're planning to have a group comeback this month. So I don't know if it has anything to do with that. It is getting a little cold, so might be some cycle concept
coming. I would love that.
So we hope, yeah. But we don't know. So I guess we don't know if this links to her future work, like, as an individual, or if it just relate to the message of the song, which kind of makes sense, or if this links to, like, some kind of group activity of some sort. So I guess we'll just have to see.
Is Red Velvet doing another end-of-year comeback thing where they, like, have comeback stages at, like, the freaking Mamas and whatever?
I don't think so, but they are doing a comeback at the end of the month, so it might feed into, like, later parts of December, but it doesn't seem like it's explicitly going to be, like, when, carry through to, like,
when are the end-of-year shows activities. Anyway? End-of-year show SBS.
I think end-of-the-year shows are legitimately, like, the last week of the year. Like, those huge festivals.
Mm.
Those, like, KBS festivals.
Like, last week of December. Like,
those are, like... Yeah, so I think that they're doing part five of their Reva festival.
Yeah.
And we can get into that at another point. We don't need to talk about that here. But I guess we'll be back. We'll talk about that when it gets released. How about that? Okay. Well, thank you to the listeners for tuning into this episode of K-Bops. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at IdolTalkPod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major platforms, streaming platforms, just Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. And if you have any feedback or content requests, email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory that we'd like to tell you about, idletalkpod.uu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, including our playlist, song recommendations, concert and K-drama reviews, and information about us. And it can be found in our description of our episodes here. And Once again, thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Bye. Bye.